This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features turn-by-turn directions. Sync locates your destination in seconds, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. Visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
On Friday's Page One, the U.S. is urging Iraq to try a new power-sharing arrangement that would weaken Prime Minister Nouri Kamal al-Maliki. A secret tape shows police commanders pressing rank-and-file officers to write a certain number of summonses in a week. We'll listen in. And the accidental producer of the most expensive show in Broadway history, Michael Cole, won't know until opening night in mid-November whether it's a hit or a flop. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Obama administration is pressing for a new power-sharing arrangement in Iraq. It could cut into Prime Minister Nouri Kamal al-Maliki's clout. He'd stay on, but in a coalition. Vice President Joseph Biden talked up the idea when he was in Baghdad last week. The plan also calls for setting up a committee of Maliki's rivals. They'd have power over who gets military jobs and what gets cut from the budget. Also on Friday's Page One, evidence of something a lot of New Yorkers suspect. The police have quotas for things like parking tickets. This comes from a recording made secretly back in April at the 81st Precinct Station House in Brooklyn. Let's listen in. Here's Captain Alex Perez is telling commanders he wants every officer to write 20 summonses during the day. The term he's using is day tours.
If day tours contributed with five seatbelts and five cell phones a week, five double barkers, and five bus stops a week, okay, I could expect the bulk of my numbers from McNanny and Becker. If I get the same numbers from the 3rd Platoon, and whatever Midnight's kicks in, it's great. But you as the bosses have to demand this and have to count it.
Defense Department officials want to head off distribution of an Afghan war memoir they say contains intelligence secrets. They're now negotiating to purchase all 10,000 copies. The book is titled Operation Darkheart. It was written by former Defense Intelligence Agency officer Anthony Schaefer. More than 200 passages reportedly contain classified information. Roughly 60 Muslims are believed to have died when the Twin Towers collapsed on 9/11. They were cooks and businessmen and emergency responders. Here's Times reporter Sam Dolnick, who says one was a medical student who worked as an EMT.
He raced to ground zero as an emergency responder the morning of the attacks without telling anyone, and not even in an official capacity, and died, was never heard from again. I spoke with his mother about what it's been like watching this debate rage over the community center near ground zero. Their family owned a small convenience store in Brooklyn. So they went from being fixtures of the neighborhood to being suspect. People stopped coming by the neighborhood. There were rumors that their son had something to do with these attacks. And they really felt that ostracism.
Times reporter Sam Dolnick. Another Muslim whose husband died at the World Trade Center says she's going to Ground Zero on Saturday. She says praying there feels natural, even if others there blame her religion for that day 9 years ago. A Florida minister canceled plans to burn copies of the Quran. The Reverend Terry Jones made the announcement after saying there was a plan to move an Islamic community center away from the neighborhood near Ground Zero. Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf said later he knew nothing about that. Times reporter Brian Stelter says the pastor capitalized on a lull in the news last month and the demands of a 24-hour news cycle to promote his anti-Islam cause.
This is a tough one for the media. It's a fringe pastor with a very small congregation, but he's getting all the attention he wants, all the publicity he could possibly imagine by, you know, warning that he's going to do this. But I think it's incumbent upon the press not to blow this out of proportion.
Friday's Page One looks at the accidental producer of the most expensive show in Broadway history. The show is Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark. Michael Cole was a promoter for U2 and the Rolling Stones. U2's Bono and The Edge recruited him to salvage the show from a premature death when the money ran out. First Nighters will have to wait until mid-November to find out if this Spider-Man soars or comes crashing down. We'll go inside Friday's Times after this.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features turn-by-turn directions. Sync locates your destination in seconds and then audibly guides you through all your turns over your car or SUV's audio speaker system without additional hardware to purchase. You can also save several destinations you may use frequently, and Sync will guide you there. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Inside Friday's Times, financial problems are colliding with the promise of lawyers for poor people. Public defenders in Missouri say they're overworked and underfinanced, so much so that they're trying to turn down cases they're assigned late in the month. They've also been pleading with judges not to give them new cases. Budget problems have driven some public schools to charge fees. Sometimes the fees are for using textbooks, sometimes they're for taking required tests. Now, a civil liberties group is suing California over the fees. It says 35 school districts that impose charges are trampling on students' right to a free public education. Military recruiters tell teenagers who grew up playing video games they can sign up for the real thing. But there's been some unexpected friction between the military and the world's biggest video game publisher. The organization that runs PXs on military bases is refusing to sell a soon-to-be-released combat simulation game. It's set in post-9/11 Afghanistan. At issue is a feature that lets players turn into Taliban fighters and attack U.S. troops. Friday's Business Day section looks at President Obama's commitment to manufacturing as a way to boost the economy. He's named Ron Blum as a special advisor to tackle the problem. Blum is a Harvard MBA who's worked both on Wall Street and in the labor movement. Times reporter Louis Uchitel says he faces a lot of challenges.
Not only the steelworkers, but other unions as well, they feel that the subsidies that China or even Germany have are unfair. And so they are trying to get the federal government to bring countervailing tariffs and duties, or at least force the pricing to be competitive with what manufacturers must charge in this country.
If this were a want ad, it would go like this. Wanted, lobbyists must be Republican with government connections. Good pay and benefits start in January. With Democrats in danger of losing control of Congress, some Washington lobbying firms are already trying to hire Republicans. So are trade groups and contractors. The salaries reportedly begin at $300,000. Apple Computer usually keeps a tight lid on its inner workings. It's loosening up a little. It's relaxing its rules for software developers. It's even publishing guidelines explaining how it decides what programs can and can't be sold through its App Store. Analysts say that with Google at its heels, Apple is trying to be nicer to the app developers who drive its product's success. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.